Hi, thank you so much for clicking the link and tuning in. I'm super excited to share this story with you today. In fact, I really love speaking. I love talking to people and conversing. And so I kind of feel like you and I are at a restaurant or a coffee shop and just sharing our hearts. And right now it's just my turn to talk. So I will try and share in 5 minutes or less the details of this first Valentine's Day that I spent with Jason. The year was 2003. I was 20 years old and a sophomore in college. But this date was important to me because this was the first time in the history of ever that I had a Valentine on Valentine's Day. Now, I had gone through high school and my freshman year of college, seeing my friends celebrate this day. I had a longing to celebrate this day with somebody. I had daydreams of what it would be like to finally have a Valentine. I listened to that, I think it's Martina McBride song, Valentine, on repeat, just imagining dancing, you know, to it with somebody on Valentine's Day, and then it would just be the best day. I mean, you would have thought it was my wedding day with all the planning and preparation that I had put into it. And so I had planned surprises for Jason throughout the day, a couple different ones for him to receive. I had bought a brand new outfit for our date, and I even went and had my hair professionally done and put up and styled in such a fun way so that I would just look the best. I wanted everything to be perfect. So when Jason picked me up that evening, we went out to dinner, and then he took me to see a play. I'm a huge theater buff, so that was fun. And then we were going to exchange our cards and gifts back at his apartment. So we head back there. It's about 11 o'clock at night. And I would say that we had been in his apartment less than 10 minutes when there was a knock at the door. And I could tell that Jason was not expecting anybody. His eyes grew really wide and his voice was kind of nervous as he said, "Who could that be?" And he opened the door and there's a female voice on the other side. And he steps outside and he closes the door behind him. And I wait on the couch for what seems like 30 minutes to an hour. It was really only a couple minutes, but it felt very long. I was very curious. My mind was racing. Part of me wanted to just go open the door and introduce myself, and the other part of me wanted to at least cut my ear to the door to try and overhear what was being said. But I sat frozen, kind of feeling sick to my stomach, wondering what was happening. And Jason came back inside, and you could tell by his body language and his face that he was clearly shaken up. And so I simply said, in a very un-Darby-like move, "Let's just pretend that I'm not your girlfriend right now. Let's just pretend I'm your friend. How are you doing? What just happened? You know, I'm here. Just talk." And so we spent the next hour and a half really talking about what had happened. His ex-girlfriend, who they had broken up about a year before that, came by with a card and a gift. And he was still very much healing from this relationship. And so I just listened a lot. I didn't really say much. I just listened. And he drove me home that night. And I remember when he walked me to the door, I just simply said, "Are you and me still you and me?" And he gave me this sweet little smile and said, "Yes." And I guess that was enough for me for the night. I fell asleep. But when I woke up the next morning, I remember thinking, "Ooh, I'm actually not okay with what just happened. I'm actually kind of upset about it." And so I called him up, which was probably red flag number one to him because I never called him. And so I called him and I said, "I think we should get together and talk." And he kind of skirted around the issue wanting to know what we were wanting to talk about. So I think it was red flag number two. I'm pretty sure he thought I was just going to break up with him. And I said, "Well, I'm actually not okay with what just happened. And I think we need to process it a little bit more." And so I went over to his apartment that night, the 15th, and we just talked for a long time. And I started throwing out some very hard questions and very hard scenarios. And the bless his little heart, he was answering them all very honestly, which I appreciated, but also didn't like because he was sharing things with me that I didn't like to hear. And I finally got to the point where I simply said, "Okay, so what if she came back and knocked on your door and wanted to restore the relationship?" And the big reason that they broke up is they went to different churches. They were of different denominations, and he wanted her to leave her denomination and join him, and she wouldn't. And so I said, what if she comes here and knocks on the door and says she's changed her mind and she will leave that church and come worship with you? What would you do? And he tried to deflect it a little bit and simply said, well, I don't think she's going to do that. And I said, I didn't ask that. Like, I ask, what would you do? And so he paused, and then he simply said, well, I'd prayed for that for so long, I'd have to follow through with it. And so I just looked at him and I said, then what are you doing with me? You know, if she was going to come back and then you would break up with me, then why are you even with me? And so he started, you know, trying to regain some ground, I think, and simply saying, well, I don't go a Sunday at church without some man stopping me, telling me that if I let you go, I'm a fool, or that I shouldn't let you go, I'm a really special girl, yada, yada, yada. He mentioned some pastors and some ministers at the church that we were really close to who were really invested in me personally. And he said, you know, they would show up at this door with a baseball bat, number one, to knock sense into me, and number two, to hurt me for hurting you. I'm not going to let this go. And I just said, no, 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 no. I don't want you to be with me because other people tell you to be with me. I want you to be with me because you want to be with me. And it was evident by the end of that conversation that that's not exactly where his heart was. His mind was there. He thought, this makes sense. This is a good match. But his heart wasn't there. And so I walked away from that whole Valentine's weekend embarrassed and hurt and insecure about his attraction to me and the direction of our relationship. I thought it had been going one way, and I realized we were several steps back from that. And so those are the words. That's the conversation that always comes back to my mind every February. And so if you go back to the post, you will read about how the Lord is just telling me, Darby, this conversation expired long ago. It's time to throw out anything expired. So I hope that you do go finish that post that I wrote. I'm very excited about what the Lord is wanting to do in my life. And I hope that this is an encouragement to you to also throw out anything that might be expired in your life. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I we'll hopefully talk to you later.